There are choices we make every day of our lives. Some mundane, some dire. And with choice, there comes consequence. But there is nothing to fear so long as you choose wisely. Wrong or right, the truth will be determined on the Bray Scales. Let's begin, shall we?
Evening, Chris.
Jill.
Was beginning to think you weren't going to make it in.
The vultures are circling.
Reporters.
Birch's disappearance has them out for blood. I can't wait for this to be settled.
Then our friend in there has some good news for you.
Oh, what's his story?
Pretty open and shut. Name's Teddy Sands, disgruntled employee of Birch Industries. Got fired on May 5th, his birthday of all days. Took it pretty badly. Went up to Andrew Birch's office with a .45 and blew his old boss away. Takes the body home, buries it behind his house, and a week later the guilt becomes too much for him. Turns himself in.
I was expecting more of a slightly exciting story.
Can't always get what you want. We got a black and white heading over to his place to dig in the spot, they said, see if his story checks out.
They'll find it.
What makes you so sure?
High-profile cases like this always generate tons of conspiracy theories, and then turn out to have simple explanations. Occam's razor. I have a feeling this will be over within the hour.
So much for Occam.
What's up?
Looks like this just got a little bit more complicated. Two people just walked in saying they killed Andrew Birch.
So much for Teddy Sands. Looks like this was a two-man job.
Don't be so sure. They didn't come in together. In fact, they got into a shouting match in the lobby. They're both insisting that they are the one who killed Birch. They're both saying that they disposed of the body in totally different places.
Location: Police Station, New York City. Time: 56th straight hour on the job. Situation: too many murderers, not enough bodies. Detectives Chris Yarnum and Jill Wren are about to get an education in the elasticity of the truth. We invite you at home to join our tired heroes as they weigh whose version of the events of May 5th ring most valid in our minds, in our guts, and on the grayscale.
Can we please just skip these questions and get on to the important stuff?
It's all part of procedure, Mr. Vendrick. Just answer the question.
Who cares? I killed Andrew Birch!
Yes, you've made that very clear. Now answer the question.
Fine. I'm a street vendor, okay? I used to work the newspaper stand outside Birch Industries.
Thank you.
Are you going to listen to me now?
Yes, Mr. Vendrick. That was the last one. Now why don't you start at the beginning?
Thank you. As I said, I work at the stand outside Birch Industries. Mr. Birch, he would come by there all the time. He'd never buy nothing from me. Instead, he'd swipe a bag of peanut M&Ms and stash them in his pocket when he thought I wasn't looking. I mean, maybe a few times I wasn't, but this asshole did this every single day on his way home. Once he stashed the candy, he'd say,
"Nothing today, friend."
With this creepy fucking laugh at the end. The kind of laugh that just bores into you. Then he'd walk off whistling like some fucking kid in a cartoon.
Did you ever say anything to him?
No, not at first. Richest man in the world steals from your store, you don't say nothing. I heard stories about the kind of shit he'd do to people he didn't like, and I didn't want to end up on that list. So I just kept my mouth shut. One day, though, about a week ago, May 6th?
5th.
Yeah, 5th. Wednesday. My wife runs out. I wake up and she's just gone. Clothes, jewelry, everything gone. After all I did for that ungrateful bitch, and she walks out on me. As you can probably imagine, this put me in a pretty fucking bad mood at work that day. So when rich Uncle Pennybags comes down from his ivory tower to snatch a bag of my supply, I wasn't exactly in a giving mood. I grabbed the bag right out of his greedy fucking fingers and said, "No more charity." He looks right at me. At first, he's kind of shocked, but then he starts laughing, that laugh of his. He silently pulls out his phone and makes a call.
"Hello, Mick? You know that shitty little newspaper stand outside my office? I want it closed down. Yes, first thing in the morning, I want it gone." "You will? Great, Mick, thanks."
And he's just fucking grinning at me the entire time. The second he hangs up, he starts in with that laugh of his again. I'm freaking out. I'm begging him to call them back.
"Just take the candy.
I try to give him the candy. He just shakes his head. He's not even walking away. He's just standing there laughing at me. He loves watching this. He's getting off on it. Finally, he starts walking towards the parking garage, and something in me just snaps. I follow him down there. Wait till we're alone, and I just tackled him like a wild animal. I put my hands around his throat and I choked the life out of him. And the entire time, he's not struggling or screaming or fighting or nothing. He's just laughing that same laugh at me. Like this is the funniest goddamn thing he's ever seen."
"You said this happened in the parking garage of Birch Industries?"
"Yeah, that's right. You can check the security footage. I'm sure I'm on there. I'm sure his fucking laugh is on there, too."
"What'd you do with the body?"
"I dumped it in a vacant lot near my house on 181st.
"One last thing, Mr. Vendrick. Why confess? Why now?"
"Because I can't sleep at night. Jesus Christ, I can still hear it. I've been hearing it all week. It's like he infected me with that laugh. I just want to make it stop."
"I see. Thank you, Mr. Vendrick."
"Can I have your name, please, for the record?"
"Samantha Miller."
"All right, Miss Miller. Why don't you tell me what happened?"
"You heard of the big product reveal Birch was going to do next week?"
"Yeah, some new fancy..."
"It's mine."
Sorry?"
"He stole it from me."
"He stole it?"
"Stole it from me!"
"I'm going to need you to calm down."
"I spent my entire life coming up with that program. It was going to change everything."
"Miss Miller, please, just start at the beginning."
"Miss Miller?"
"Yes, sir, Mr. Birch. It's an honor. When I got your email, I actually thought it was a prank or something."
"I'm sure. I've been reading your blog."
Really? Wow. I mean, wow. What did you think?"
"Some pretty interesting stuff. Let me ask you, this program you've been working on, does it really work?"
"Yes, sir. I tested it myself, 40 times over. No matter how much I put in, it never gets full. It puts the cloud to shame, sir. It's gonna change digital storage forever."
"I'm so glad. That'll be all."
"What? I mean, are you interested in buying it?"
"Not quite what I had in mind."
It was this creepy laugh. Next day, I came home from a little shopping trip to find my house had been torn apart and all my computers were gone.
"Did you report it?"
"Yeah, right. I know how you people deal with reports like that. I know all about your theft return rates. Not great numbers."
All right. So what happened next?"
"I went down to Birch Industries to have a word with the big man himself."
"They actually let you in to see him?"
"Not at first. Tried telling me that he was busy, but when he finally heard who I was, he asked to see me himself. I walked into his office, and I saw him there, standing behind his desk. He didn't say a word. He just started laughing at me. Like a schoolyard bully. In fact, it sounded exactly like my schoolyard bully. Like, he somehow pulled that kid out of time and brought him here just for today. Just to laugh in my face. It tore into me. I couldn't stand it. He wouldn't say a goddamn word to me. Just kept laughing. I couldn't take it. I ran out of his office and waited for him to get off. I followed that piece of shit home and confronted him again right outside his big fancy house. He didn't say a word, just gestured for me to come inside."
"I want to show you something, Miss Miller."
"What is it?"
A new magazine ad will be running next month. What do you think?
Is this a joke? That's... You son of a bitch! Ugh! You fucking stole it! Ugh! You stole it! Ugh! You son of a fucking bitch! The entire time I was burying him out there with the bust I used to... I could hear that laugh. Somehow, even dead, he was still laughing at me. Long after he was buried, I could still hear it. Through the ground, drive home, even now. In this room, I can still hear him.
Thank you, Miss Miller. That's more than enough. And he says he buried it behind his house?
That's right. Sent a black and white to check it out. Got another one headed to Birch's place, too. Should be back soon.
This is getting more complicated than I thought. Miller seems pretty damn convinced she killed him. What reason does she have to lie about something like that?
I don't know, but Sands and Vendrick are the same story. Not only that, but we just got word that they found some human remains at the Sands residence, just like he said. They're running it in the lab now to give us an ID.
So he definitely killed someone?
Seems that way. And I have a feeling we're going to find remains at the other two locations as well.
We just need to figure out which one is Andrew Birch.
Well.
What is it?
Andrew Birch just walked into the station and he asked for us.
State your name, please, for the record.
I think you know who I am.
Just state it anyway, please.
Andrew Montgomery Birch III. Born September 7th.
That's more than enough, thank you.
Of course.
All right, Mr. Birch, you've got quite a bit of clearing up for us, so why don't you just start at the beginning? Where were you on May 5th?
I woke up at about 7:45, made myself a breakfast of scrambled eggs and toast. I like to eat healthy. Afterward, I went for a run around 8:15. After my morning jog, I drove myself to work and arrived in my office at around 9:05. A little later than usual, but we've been working hard on our new project launch, so I figured it wouldn't be a big deal if I gave myself a couple of minutes to be late. Spent most of the day gearing up for said product launch. I'm sure you've read all about it.
Remind us.
Well, normally we like to keep the details mostly under wraps, which is why all the ads have just featured a countdown. But since this is a police hearing, I suppose I can let you in on this company secret. We are preparing to launch Lucas, a highly sophisticated AI which scans your emails to keep track of any important dates and upcoming events and automatically reminds you. Of course, an AI like Lucas is a bit more complicated than that and will be capable of many things. He'll be launching as an event managing program of sorts, so good at knowing what you need to do and where you need to be, you'll think it's psychic.
And that's the only product you have launching?
Unfortunately, a project like Lucas requires an awful lot of resources, and I don't like to divide up my teams to work on smaller operations.
Any layoffs?
Not in over a year. We've been too focused on getting Lucas up and running, we couldn't afford to lose a single employee. You can check my company records to see that for yourself.
So you spent the day working on this calendar. What about after work?
After work, I had a meeting with a business partner of mine, a Miss Beverly Riker. We met on her yacht and took it out into the bay. For the sake of transparency and not wasting all our time, I'll inform you that Miss Riker and I were having an affair. However, with the product launch so soon, I decided I couldn't afford to be further distracted. Miss Riker did not take this well. She drugged me and tied me to a bed, then took her yacht out for a week. Finally, after some convincing, I was able to talk her into bringing us back to land. Upon my return, I figured I should probably go to the local authorities to inform them as to my situation.
So, you were kidnapped?
That's correct.
I must say, Mr. Birch, that you seem particularly calm for someone who just survived a week-long kidnapping.
What happened to Miss Riker?
You know, I really couldn't say. As soon as she dropped me off, she took off in her yacht without a word. If it's possible, I'd like not to press any charges.
Kidnapping doesn't really work that way.
Well, it was worth a shot. Go easy on her, at least. She's a nice girl.
Doesn't really work like that, either.
Either way, figured I'd try. Anyways, I have a launch to get ready for, so I can't be held up here talking to...
Hold on a second, Mr. Birch. We still have a number of questions that you need to resolve.
I don't see how that could be. I just told you where I was.
Your disappearance is only part of this story, Mr. Birch. We have several people here convinced that they killed you on May 5th.
Well, you can clearly see I am not dead.
Yes, but...
So then that solves the mystery.
Yes, but we...
Am I being accused of a crime?
No, but...
Do you think I conspired with these individuals?
No, but there...
I'm sure you're going to say something about being able to hold me for 24 hours for questioning.
We...
But may I remind you of exactly who I am?
We know who...
And the things I have to prepare for.
We know...
And the people I know.
Are you insinuating...
I'm not anything, Detective. I'm just reminding you of certain realities. And with that, I'll be taking my leave.
Mr. Birch.
Good evening, detectives.
Well, he was certainly very helpful.
I don't know. I mean, we know that he isn't dead.
It's just a matter of finding out who those other people killed.
Assuming they're even telling the truth. You know, I really hate that sound.
Shit.
Jill? What is it?
We, got the results back from the remains at the three suspects' houses.
We already know. Obviously, none of them are Andrew Birch.
Actually, well, they all are. All three bodies had a positive match. All three remains were the remains of Andrew Montgomery Birch and...
And?
There's a line of about 50 people outside, all claiming they killed Andrew Birch.
No, I killed Andrew Birch.
I killed Andrew Birch.
Location, hell in a police station. Time, endless. Situation, Detectives Wren and Yharnam prepare for countless hours wasted on paperwork and confusion, while a dead man goes about his day with a spring in his step and a laugh in his heart. A laugh that serves as a grim reminder that the heaviest truths are always outside our grasp, forever obscured by the grayscale.
The Grayscale is a production of CPT Broadcasting, the audio storytelling arm of Critical Point Theater, an ensemble-based performance company. You can hear more about what we do, including our other podcasts, at criticalpointtheater.com. Critical Point Theater is a sponsored project of Fractured Atlas, a nonprofit art service organization. The Grayscale is produced by Executive Director Julia Katz, Executive Producer Dylan James Amick, Podcast Production Manager Chelsea Rugg, and the head honcho of all CPT podcasts, Andrew Terrence Caberline. The Grayscale theme was composed by Isaac Jones. Where Were You on May 5th was written by Matthew Schott, directed by Dylan James Amick, and edited by Chelsea Rugg. The episode starred Tessa Slovis, Chris Chiz, Mike Mim, Sonny Vincevich, and Tyler Weaver, with Nate Bettencourt as the voice inside your head. The Grayscale is available on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, and review, and join us on June 1st for our next episode.
Search for the next love, Arva. Matt Daniel, here with the rules.